Good morning, everybody. So, let's see. This morning, I'm going to read Psalm 133. That kind of tells you what I'm going to speak about a little bit. If I can get there. It says, "Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious oil upon the head, running down on the beard of Aaron, running down on the edge of his garments. It is like the dew of Hermon, descending upon the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord commanded the blessing, live forevermore." Highlight, "Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity." I've had quite a bit of time lately to think about how good and how pleasant it is and how fortunate it is to have a body that functions well and where everything works together. My arm, it's not quite useless, it's not dead, but it's pretty weak. And even yesterday I was thinking about today, I developed a tooth infection. And that's no fun, but it just, again, just reminded me of the benefits of a healthy body. And Christ, Paul speaks often of, he compares all of us to one body in Christ. I get in my car right now, I do not have the strength, my arm extended, to turn the key. I just can't do it. But if I lean way forward, put my head on the steering wheel, and get myself in this weird position, I can manage to turn the key on. And so like my stomach muscles, my shoulders, my neck, all works together to make that happen. And that's kind of how God intended us to work together. When one person is weak or despairing or hurting, and the body comes together to help support them, to help edify them. And that's what God would have. I'm going to read Ephesians 4 and part of 5. I guess if I titled this message this morning, this really is not a teaching. I'm not going to try to teach how the body should function together. We know that it should. I don't really have anything that I can teach you on that, I don't think. But if I titled this message, I would title it, "Be Grateful for the Brethren." You know, I haven't worked for quite a while, so I've lost a share of income. Brothers and sisters here have made up for what I've lacked. We probably have more than if I was just working normally. And I really appreciate that. And it's right and it's good. Ephesians 4, "I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you are called, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you are called, and one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all, and through all, and in you all. But to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore, he says, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts to men. Now this, he ascended, what does it mean? But that he also first descended into the lower parts of the earth. He who descended is also the one who ascended far above all the heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave himself, and he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come into the unity of faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children, tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine, by trickery of men and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking truth in love, may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by every joint, by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for edifying of itself in love. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk in the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lewdness, to work all uncleanliness with greediness. But you have not so learned of Christ, if indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, putting away lying, let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil. Let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands what is good, that he may have something to give him who has need. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you are sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking be put away from you, with all malice. And be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. Therefore, be imitators of God, dear children, and walk in love as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. But fornication, all uncleanliness or covetousness, let it not even be named among you, as is fitting for saints. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks. For this you know, that no fornicator, unclean person, nor covetous man who is an idolater has any inheritance in the kingdom of God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not be partakers with them. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done in secret, but all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light, for whatever makes manifest is light. Therefore, he says, awake, you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of love. So, take a look at some of the stuff that I just read here. Submitting to one another in the fear of God. We are to listen carefully, not quickly argue back with our own ideas. There has to be limits of submitting to one another, but We do not have to have our own way in most things. If we have a, we'll all have different ideas about a certain thing ought to be handled. And you have to be willing to hear others and let it be done their way. We should always be giving thanks. I'm going to concentrate on the verses that speak of the body and not to the individual here. It says, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart. We always ought to be building one another up, building each other up, speaking, encouraging each other in spiritual things. Speak to one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. You need to be praising and giving thanks. My notes are a little bit convoluted here. I read a verse that talks about anger. It says, don't let the sun go down on your anger. I think that's a really big one. For some reason, I lost the reference to it, but...
the anger and sin law was that one. It was 26 of chapter 4.
Mm-hmm. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down your wrath, nor give place to the devil. We're a fairly diverse group of people here. There'll be times when I annoy you or somebody else might annoy you. We need to remember, Jesus said, blessed be the peacemakers. They will be the sons of God. We need to forgive, be quick to forgive. We need to understand that we're all human. We'll all say something we shouldn't have sometime. We can all. It talks about being patient, being kind, with all lowliness and gentleness, long suffering and bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit. I think verse 27 there is not out of place. It says, nor give place to the devil. I think for anger, for harboring bitterness toward our brother, that definitely gives place to the devil. The more you dwell on how you were wronged, the bigger it gets, the angrier you get, the more bitter you get. You really need to just let those things go. Verse 29, let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good and necessary for edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. We need to build one another up, speak well of each other. If I can't think of anything good to say about somebody, it's better probably not to speak. But when we speak of each other, we should think about the positive aspects. There's a time for correction. There's a time for certain discussions that might not feel edifying, but if they're done out of love and with a purpose to build up the church, there's a way to do that. But in general, we really ought to just speak highly of one another. I'm going to read verses 10 through 15 again. Now this, he ascended, what does it mean? But that he also first descended into the lowest parts of the earth. He who descended is also the one who ascended far above all the heavens, that he might fill all things. And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of stature and fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children, tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men and the cunning craftiness of deceitful speaking, but speaking truth in love, may grow up in all things unto him who is the head. He himself gave some. I think we need to recognize that all of us here have been brought together. Wasn't necessarily my idea to want to move here, and I don't know all that went on. I don't know how God directs his kingdom, but I believe God brought us here together. This body was formed by God. We have influence in it. We can influence it for good or for bad, but it's his church. He brought us together. If there's people you think don't belong here, well, Christ brought us together. He thinks they do. The servant is not to judge the master's other servants. We are to follow Christ and to help get the job done, help the mission, I guess I would say. And understanding that each one of us is given by God to the church to fulfill his mission. We should be thankful that Christ has brought us together and for each one in the church. Verses 1 through 6. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling which you are called, with all lowliness, gentleness, long-suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. There is one body, one Spirit, just as you are called, one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. To each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Paul tells us to walk with humility, to be humble. Think of ourselves not higher than our brothers. Whatever his gifts are, whatever yours are, my left arm has always felt pretty wimpy. I'm awful glad for it today. You know, there's a place for every member, and it has a job to fulfill. And we don't always realize it. Sometimes it takes years for it to be fulfilled. Sometimes it takes a lifetime. And so the whole point of this, as I said, I titled it, Being Grateful to the Brethren. That's really what I just want to impart, inspire each one of us to really be thankful for God for this fellowship. You know, we have Melvin and Manuel, and all the time that they have given to teaching, to other things in the church. I mean, countless hours. I don't know how many. We have Brother Randy, who is a logistics guy. He keeps paperwork. He's a good planner, and he uses those talents for the church. I don't know how many hours he spent, you know, arranging the schedules, all kinds of things. You know, Josh and song leading and lots of other service to the church. He used to keep books too. Jim does a lot of service for the church. He does the minutes for the brothers meeting and handles finances for ABT and there's other things he does. Steve and his meals and the being willing to give that little teaching he did last week to the young people. You know, Mitch and his service, the people need help on their house. I mean, it just goes on and on. And I ladies, for the meals, really think about what each member brings and be thankful for it. You know, James is here earlier than most of us so that this can be heard and recorded. We all owe each other a debt of gratitude. We owe Christ. We should really be thankful to have a brethren in an assembly that is trying to, whatever else goes on, I think we are trying to encourage each other and impart truth to each other. And there's a beauty in that. How good and how pleasant when brothers can live in peace and unity. Remember, whatever else happens, what little irritants, what little annoyances, Christ called us to love one another and let us be thankful for each other. So that's all I had to share.